One day, Jesus told a story that's really quite helpful in thinking about all that we have heard so far. It went like this. There was once a man who had a wonderful vineyard. The soil was just right. There was lots of water around. There was lots of sun, lots of shade, just enough to make the grapes grow delicious and juicy and sweet. This was a very valuable vineyard that he had. Now, the man was responsible for a lot of things, and so he decided that he would entrust that vineyard to some people who could take care of it for him. So he looked around and he found some people who had no land of their own and made them a generous offer. He said, "Why don't you come live on my land and I'll let you farm it and keep it and take care of it and work it and enjoy the harvest. Just share some of that harvest with me." That sounded like a really good offer to people who had nothing, and so they decided, "We'll do it." They took them up on his offer. The tenants agreed that they would take care of the land and they would share the harvest with the owner. So, trusting that the vineyard was in good hands, the man went off to another country to attend to some other business. And sure enough, the vineyard did produce a great harvest. The sun and the water and the soil all did their trick, and before they knew it, the tenants had more delicious grapes than they knew what to do with. They started dreaming of all the things that they would do with the money that came from the grapes and from the wine that they made from the grapes. And then one day, there was a knock at the door, somebody at the front gate. The tenants looked at each other a little bit confused and thought, "Who could this be? What does he want?" They went to the gate, found a man there. He said, "I work for the owner of this vineyard, and I've come to collect his share of the harvest." Well, the owners looked at each other disappointedly. If they shared the harvest with the owner, then they would have less grapes. So they jumped on the man, they attacked him, they beat him up. He tried to stand his ground, but they were too strong. They were farmers, after all. And he went away empty-handed. "That went well," they said to each other. Not long after that, another man appeared at the gate. "Who are you?" they said. "What do you want?" "Well," said the man, "I work for the owner of this vineyard, and I've come to collect his share of the harvest." The tenants weren't too happy about this either. They beat the man up. They treated this man shamefully. One of the farmers even gave him a giant wedgie. And he ran away empty-handed. "That went well," they said. But not long after that, another man showed up the gate. And they said, "What do you want?" "Oh, let me guess. You're here because you work for the owner of this vineyard." "Well, yes," the third man said. "I do work for the owner of this vineyard, and I've come to collect the share of the harvest that you said you would share with the owner of this place." By now, they knew what to do. They jumped on the man, they beat him up, sent him away empty-handed. "That went well," they said. Now the owner of the vineyard had a real problem on his hand. He'd sent one of his assistants, he had sent his accountant, he had sent his lawyer, and the tenants had abused each and every one of them. It wasn't unreasonable that the tenants would share the harvest with him. That was the basis of the agreement that they made. They were trampling on his generosity. I'll give it one more shot," he thought. And he decided that he would send his beloved son to collect the overdue rent. "Surely they will respect my son," he thought. The tenant farmers saw the son approaching and they said to one another, That's the heir. That's the heir of this vineyard. If we kill him, then we can take his inheritance and keep this for ourselves." So they went out, they threw him out of the vineyard, and they murdered him in cold blood. "Now," Jesus said, "what do you suppose the owner of the vineyard will do when he hears what those tenants have done to his beloved son? The owner will come and kill those tenants He will give the land to someone else. That's what their actions deserve. When the people heard this, they said, "May this never be. Oh, that this would never happen." But it did happen, at least in part. And Jesus wasn't only talking about a farmer in a vineyard, was he? He's talking about us and God. There was someone who planted a garden. It was God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created mangoes and sunsets and grapes and celery and coffee beans. He made all things for us to enjoy. And he made human beings to take care of it all. We were nothing. And then he gave us the responsibility of taking care of his creation. We became stewards of all that he had. But Adam and Eve, our forefathers, decided that they didn't want to take care of the garden. They just wanted the garden. They didn't want to serve God. They wanted to be God. And each of us have followed in their footsteps. Every time we put our will before God's, every time we ignore his word, every time we hurt another human being who was made in his image, every time that we treat Jesus as less than the beloved Son, we're acting like the tenants. We are resisting God. And so, God would be well within his right to come in and bust some heads, right? You know, as I thought about this, I kept thinking to myself, what would I do if I had been treated that unfairly? Like, what a gross injustice they have done to that guy. My instinct would be to exact justice, right? I would want to go in there and kick some butt. That's what they deserve. But this is where God shows himself to be infinitely more gracious than I am, infinitely more gracious than I could ever imagine. Because instead of holding us accountable for our sin, God sent his own Son to pay for our sin. Instead of kicking our butt, he gave us grace. That's how deeply God loves us. That's what's so good about Good Friday. God gave his Son as the ransom for sin so he could treat sinners as daughters and sons. God gave his Son as the ransom for our sins so that he could treat us as daughters and sons. Instead of coming in and wiping them out for the parable, as in the parable, God shows just how gracious he is. You know, justice demanded that our sin be dealt with, that debt needed to be repaid somehow, but God loved each and every one of you so much that he chose to repay the debt himself. Instead of sending his Son to collect the debt, like in the parable, he sent his Son to pay the debt. Our sin is a debt that we could never repay. The Son came to pay it off so that God could offer us the forgiveness that he loves for us. You know, Jesus didn't deserve to die on the cross. He was 100% faithful in everything and in every way. You know, I remember last year's Good Friday service, we got to the point in the service, in the scripture, where Jesus was being crucified, and I heard Ben blurt out, "But what did Jesus ever do?" And he was entirely right. It wasn't for anything that Jesus did. It was for what we did. Jesus deserved nothing but wholehearted love and acceptance from the Father. And yet he willingly went to the cross to die in our place. All so that God could treat us as he deserved. So that God could wipe away our sin, wipe away our slate, and say, "I love you deeply, desperately, wholly, entirely." So he could treat us as his daughters and sons. Isaiah had it exactly right. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brings us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. God gave his Son as the ransom for sin, so he could treat us as daughters and sons. Now, if you're here this morning, I assume that you know that. I have probably not said anything that you don't know already. And if you're here this morning, my assumption is that you have already made a commitment to follow Jesus, to deny yourself, to take up your cross and walk with this God who has given up his life for us. So let's talk together then about what this means for our daily lives. First, if you have put your faith in Jesus, then you are a child of God. God looks at you the same way that he looks at his son Jesus. And remember the transfiguration, what did he say about his son? "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." If you've trusted Jesus, that is what God says when he looks at you. "This is my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased." God delights in you. There is nothing that can ever change that. You are a child of God, loved by God. Let that shape your life, how you think about yourself, how you think about other people. And in that vein, secondly, we are sons and daughters of God. So let's not act like tenants. You know, sometimes we think very easily that that old hymn goes, "This is my world." It's not my world. This is our Father's world. It is his. We are his children. Let us live in this world as he lived in it, giving up his rights to serve others, loving one another the way that he has loved us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus and be his faithful children. Let's pray. Jesus, I feel the weight of sin. I feel the weight of your sacrificial death on the cross. And it's more than I could bear. But Jesus, you have come to lift that burden off of our back. You have come to reset the scales entirely and to put us back the way that you created us. To be faithful caretakers, to love and take care of your creation, to be the highest point in all the created order. God, thank you for making us your children. God, you know the weeks that we have been through. You know the ways that waves have washed up against us this week and made us felt as though we were set adrift, something less than your children. I don't know. You know the pain, God, that we felt. Remind us of the love that you have for each of us as your children. May it shine deeply in our hearts and warm our whole being. Draw us deeper into relationship with you. Amen. Let's stand together as we respond.